Then there was another change. Within a generation or so, suddenly, people gave up gazelle hunting, although they still did it. But it wasn't the primary food. They owned herds of goats and sheep, domesticated animals. Now, Abu Huraira was a farming village, a closely knit community of one-story mud brick houses joined by narrow lanes and courtyards. It was a quite different place. It was a permanent settlement. People lived for centuries. People flourished there until the site was abandoned forever in about 6,500 BC, a degree of permanence that were unimaginable in earlier times. Much more dense population, with all that that implies, which we'll explore in the next lecture. So there's one example of the transition. Then there's another. Jericho. Jericho, famous in the scriptures for the famous siege of Joshua, where he caused the priests to blow their trumpets, and the walls fell down, and every man advanced straight in front of him, and they put the inhabitants to the sword. Big, dramatic Old Testament stuff. But what isn't known generally to a lot of people is that the modern city lies atop a deep occupation mound, and some of the earliest farming settlements in the world buried right down the bottom of this mound. Very, very difficult to explore because of the depth of the site. A number of archaeologists in the early 20th century excavated the upper levels of Jericho, the Iron Age and Bronze Age levels, and of course they were searching for the biblical city. But in the 1950s, a British archaeologist, Kathleen Kenyon, who'd been trained on Roman Britain, which is a very meticulous form of excavation, probed the lowest depths of the mound using stratigraphic principles, principles of observation of layers, which she had learnt on Roman sites in Britain. She dug below extensive Iron Age and Bronze Age occupation layers. And underneath this, she unearthed two much earlier farming settlements with substantial houses. These caused a sensation, because this was in the early days of radiocarbon dating, which really came into use in 1950, and she was able to date the earliest of these to earlier than 9,000 BC. At the time, people thought farming maybe was 3,000, 4,000 BC, somewhere around there. Here it was, the time was doubled. The earliest settlement of all was a cluster of beehive-shaped huts. But what was fascinating wasn't the huts, this is fairly reasonable, but this closely packed dwellings nestled inside not only a rock-cut ditch nearly 9 foot deep, but a well-built stone wall complete with a tower. The fortifications of this village are the earliest in the world, and the village itself covered nearly 10 acres. Why on earth would a humble farming settlement like this build a ditch and fortifications? It's a depressing thought. Maybe there was war. Maybe they were fighting with neighbors. Was defense needed? We don't know, but it is a fact that in later centuries, Jericho lay astride a strategic route from the coast to the desert. It may be they had to protect the precious water supplies of the perennial string that was the anchor of Jericho, not only as a village, but also as a city. Another theory suggests that these stone walls were, in fact, used for flood control with floods of the Jordan. We simply don't know. Like so many other archaeological controversies, the problem is unresolved. But the fact of the matter is that Jericho is another very early farming settlement. And at the very base of the mound lies a small settlement by the permanent spring, which I just mentioned, dating to about 10,000 BC. As far as we know at the moment, and we could always be surprised because new sites are always being found, cereal agriculture was widespread in southwestern Asia by 9,000 BC and probably began as early as 10,000 BC. Didn't just begin in one place. It was a logical strategy that was applied probably in many communities who were suffering from drought. It was a logical defense against hunger. The causes were not, as we'll see, entirely climatic, but the climate contributed to major changes.